start with the next presentation. Pronunciation.
That's right.
We'll talk about rough libraries and public transport, so the stage is yours.
Yeah, hello, thank you. And I want to thank you, the people before, because Transmodel helped a lot to make like a nice mind model of how transit should be called, what's a stop on, stop area, a trip. So if you ever work with public transit, read the Transmodel model. It helps a lot just to make things clear. And also, Open Trip Planner works quite well. We've been experimenting recently using it in whole France. So it's a bit bigger than Norway, and it seems to be working. So they do some nice things when we have to talk afterwards. So I'm talking about the very other extreme end of public transit data. So some very small tools and libraries to manipulate this data. And it's in Rust because, well, if you're handling a few gigabytes of data and want real-time data, Rust might be an option. And that's what we've done. And yeah, so we are a very open and informal organization. So in GitHub is Rust Transit, and we want to make some lot of small bricks just to get started using public transit data, and then you can do whatever you want to do. So it's not very formal. We have no status, nothing, and it's just focused on implementing things. So gradually adding more and more implementation and getting more things working. And this presentation is kind of a call saying we're looking for some projects to add to it and maintainers. And maybe some people will say, okay, I have this very specific need, come and see us and let's talk. Right now it's mostly, but not only, maintained by voluntary in a cooperative where I work, which is called Codeur Liberté. And there's a colleague over there who can also answer your questions. So the first one is GTFS structures. So it's the most important part, the biggest one, so I will be spending a lot of time on it, and the other bricks are a bit smaller. So so GTFS, I was told before, is de facto the standard used to publish static transit data. So what time will the bus run next week, and at what stops it will stop, and so on. So we started initially for our own project as defining the types in Rust, so the structs and so on. And for those who do work with Rust, it's basically just making third serialization, deserialization annotations. And with the time going on, we added some sugar, like reading directly from an URL, which was a common need because, let's say, Norway published it on this website and we just download it and have the data immediately. We started making some integrity checks because it's just plain CSV files, so identifiers might not reference data that doesn't exist, so we added those checks. And we tried to make it easier to access the data from one object to another. I want to mention one alternative, which is TransitModel, which is made by a French company who is now called HOV, which was used to be called Kizio Digital, and which was used to be called CanalTP, depending how old you are in the transit world. It's an AGPL, so it's a library as AGPL, so it might be a problem. It does much more things, like file conversion, is able to convert GTFS to NETX and the other way around. It has very nice query functions, like tell me all the lines that go through this point. But it's a bit more complex to use. It's mostly done for the own tool, so it's not always very documented, and you have to really know how it works to get it working. And in a perfect world, it would be based on GTFS structures. So we start discussing with them, but it break too many little things on the end, and they didn't want to bother. Just say, it's work for us. Don't bother with it. So some users' examples are Transport Validator, which is done for the French National Access Point, what they were talking before. So the transport.data.gouv.fr has a validator that checks that every GTFS file is valid. It doesn't have like buses that go over the light of speed of light, and things like that. So it's based on GTFS structures. It has also some own tool with the GTFS to GeoJSON. Some people just didn't care about the timetable, so they take a file of timetables and just extract the topology of the network. And another project is Catenary Maps, which is kind of a big student project in American California, I think, from a university, which are trying to make a whole system, and they're contributing a lot. So it's a very small vanity metric. We have like 15 contributors, which is a lot and small for a project that's not really publicized. And we have regular people just happen to use it and make some contribution. So it's living on a small pace, but it works. So we had, what was also today is quite performant. We tried to find the biggest GTFS that is there on the wild, and apparently it's the German one. So there are 600,000 stop points in Germany, at least in the GTFS files. There are 1 million trips. So a trip is a bus doing his route, and if the bus runs 10 times a day, it's 10 trips. 32,000 stop points. So it's quite a big file, and just to get everything read from the GTFS file to everything in memory, it takes about 16 seconds on this laptop, whatever it means. It takes about 5 gigabytes of RAM. It means you can handle the whole data of Germany on your laptop or on a reasonable, affordable server. It's also quite robust. As I said, every file in Transport Data GovFR, which is a national access point, is parsed using GTFS structures, and it has data that comes from a lot of different editors and vendors, which are present all around the world. So we kind of work through all the quirks of all the weird things that people do. Like in GTFS, you're allowed not to put the trailing commas. So if you have 10 columns in the CSV file, and have data just in the first two columns, you can just put one comma and leave everything empty at the end. It's all the kind of things we went through. And I'm using this as a side note, as I have an audience that might be interested. Oh, sorry. GTFS files was created as a dump of a database. Just dump all the tables, put them in CSV file, bundle them in the zip file, which is a horrible thing to do. It's nice to exchange with your colleague as a one-off time, but not to make a standard. So in the future, if you ever work with this kind of things, don't make zips of CSV files, please. Let's use, for example, in a SQLite database. You can have a schema, so you be sure that the data will be respect, an integer will be an integer, a Boolean will be a Boolean, and so on. You have foreign keys, so you won't have wrong references. You have typed columns, you have indexes, so you open the file and you can have fast queries immediately for free. You have a querying language that's integrated, you just download, open it, you can already make some statistics. And you have kind of fun things, you can put everything on an S3 server and make HTTP range requests, you don't even have to download the whole gigabyte of file, just 10 megs, and you have all the data you need. So yeah, this was a thing, think about how you materialize your data at the end, because people will use it and it will bring a lot of pain if you don't think about the serialization of your data. Okay, that's done about GTFS structure, which was clearly the biggest part, and now some smaller projects. One crate, so crate is a package in the Rust world, is SiriLite. So as you told before, Siri is a standard, it's a norm in Europe for real-time data. And SiriLite is kind of more simpler version to use. I think it's open to heated debates if it should exist or not. So Siri is mostly used as a SOAP interface, so over XML. And SiriLite is the same data but serialized as JSON and served over REST. And we use it initially to convert from GTFS RT, so the real-time GTFS data, to Siri for the French National Access Point to be able to expose the data in the European standard. And I also worked this small toy project where I read all the French, the sorry, not French, Parisian, big Paris area, Île-de-France data, to have some dashboards about real-time of this stop or this metro line on real-time. So it works also quite well with some big data. I mean, Île-de-France is twice as big as Norway, so it works. I mean, the standards are well done, and we get things working. Another one, which started really as a toy project, is WSM for routing. When people see OpenStreetMap, they say, oh, nice, road network, let's implement some Dijkstra algorithm on it because I want to play around with it. And if you go into the OpenStreetMap format, you see that was meant for mapping and not for routing. And the most simple example is like a way can be a road that goes around 100 kilometers and it doesn't stop at every intersection. So if you want to do some routing with that, that's a very bad graph. So the idea of this small tool is to cut the graph into a topology as we learn as a student to make some routing algorithm. So initially, I made it just for this toy project, was all the roads from, it's like a tree spanning here from Tokyo to every corner of Japan and making this kind of tree-like structure, so it was nothing useful. So it's meant to toy around, like the project I told you. If you want to just try some algorithm because you're a student and you want to implement on real-world data, it's very nice. It used also for OSRD. I think there will be some presentation afterwards, which is the open source railway designer. Sorry. Yeah, I'm bad with acronyms. We want to do the same with railway, and with railway, there was no tool to do it. But be aware, don't use it if you want real-life routing on roads for pedestrians, for cars. There are much more better tools, and there are tons of constraints that's not able to handle, like a turn left is slower than a turn right and things like that. So use OSM for routing, for turning around, for very specific needs or for learning, but don't use it for real-life routing algorithm, and use those very nice open-source tools that exist. And that's pretty much. So thank you. If you want to say that we're working, everybody wants to work with Rust and transit data. So we're quite open. I hope we're friendly. So don't hesitate to contact us and let's slowly grow the space of toolbox for your needs.
I saw a Chinese screenshot of the departure port. Are you planning on also integrated outside of Europe?
Well, this was just a Creative Commons from Wikimedia picture. In series, we are not specific to any region. I mean, GTFS and Siri might be used anywhere. While GTFS is quite used all over the world, and NetX is more European, I think Siri gained some traction around the world because it's more usable than the GTFS RT part, which is very focused, very big infrastructures, and not always used. So maybe it's possible.
Yeah. More like an information, you might be happy that Siri Lite has been fully approved.
Oh.
So it's not kind of like a French version of Siri on the side, because Île-de-France Mobilité asked for it, so we fully back.
Okay, thank you. That's a nice approach about all this transport, is like in making words, vocabulary, and being agreed on what this word means makes it easier to cross boundaries of formats and things like that. But always a bit tricky, but nice to hear.
How prevalent is Rust in the transit industry? Like, there's the other project, the transit model. Is that also Rust-based?
Yeah, transit model is Rust-based, yes. And it's used for... Hav makes a routing algorithm, which is called Navicia, which is heavily used in France. So, which is written mostly in Rust nowadays, started as C++, well, started as Delphi, but that's a long time ago. So it's actually used, yes. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.